Welcome to season 5 of the Book Marketing Action Podcast. We're back with another season of exciting guests, real conversations, and actionable insights for you to help reach the biggest possible audience for your work. We're here to share guidance on marketing and all other aspects of your author journey while exploring everything you need to be successful in sharing your important work with the world. I'm Becky Robinson, your host on this journey. I'm also the founder and CEO of Weaving Influence and the author of Reach, Create the Biggest Possible Audience for Your Message, Book, or Cause. Thanks for choosing to learn with me, and I hope you take action as a result of our conversations. You can find the show notes in the episode description and make sure to subscribe to our weekly newsletter at weavinginfluence.com for continued book marketing learning opportunities. I'm ready. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Book Marketing Action Podcast. I'm your host, Becky Robinson, and I am so thrilled today to be interviewing two old friends, Glenn Van Pesky and Jeevan, whose last name I will not try to say. And as we get started, gentlemen, how about you take a moment to introduce yourselves to our listeners and tell them about your work in the world?
Sure, I'll hop up. I'm a retired civil engineer. I accidentally started an ultralight backpacking gear company along the way. I'm a avid ultralight backpacker, bike packer in the U.S. and abroad. I'm an entrepreneur, author, speaker, philanthropist, and dishwasher. I recently wrote Take Less, Do More, Surprising Life Lessons on Generosity, Gratitude, and Curiosity from an Ultralight Backpacker. After I realized that the lessons I had learned from almost 50 years of lightening my pack weight also had applications to living a more fulfilling life off the trail. And I've known Becky for years, it seems like, and listened to many of her podcasts. So it's quite a thrill to actually be on one now.
Awesome. Jeevan, your turn.
Hi, I'm Jeevan Sivasubramanian. I always joke with people when they say with a name like that, how do you? And I said, oh, in my language, it's only 3 letters long. It's not. But I'm the managing director for editorial at Barrett Kohler Publishers. And I've been in publishing about 2.5-3 decades now. And my responsibility is basically overseeing the administration for all books that come in through various editors, but also I acquire some titles by myself of my own. The reason why I'm wearing a tie today is today's one of our author days where we have Zoom meetings with, and of course, also for this podcast, of course.
Good recovery.
Indeed. And I think that's all that's remotely interesting about me. So,
well, recently, Jeevan, I've seen you picked up like a new nickname around the internet. Do you want to tell us about that?
Oh, the cranky editor thing. Well, I mean, I am cranky. It's not like I take severe pride in it, but it's okay. It seems to work with authors. When I always begin my discussion with authors is by saying, you need to understand I am the a-hole in the room. Okay. But the reason why I'm that is because I want this to be the best book you can put out. And I want this to be best representative of you. And if it takes me being a pain in the butt to do it, so be it. And it's worked reasonably well for me so far. So I guess that my brand kind of stuck. And in the author community, that's kind of people are like, yeah, that guy. But, you know, he can help. So when it came time for repurposing some of my articles and stuff, that was suggested, hey, you're known as this guy, why not just... So I said, sure. Turns out there are also plenty of other cranky editors. I'm not the first, so what can you do?
But you're our favorite. So thank you for being willing to talk about this topic today. So today we're going to talk about book endorsements. And this is a topic that every client who comes to talk with me about book marketing always asks about. And I'm going to let you know up front that one of the reasons I invited Jeevan to talk about this topic is because he had a really amazing LinkedIn post where he gave his perspective about endorsements. So I'm looking forward to hearing that. But as we start the topic of the conversation, in case there are any listeners who are newer to publishing and don't know what book endorsements are, Glenn, can you as an author and then Jeevan as someone who works in the publishing industry, could we just start with the basics? So what are endorsements and why do they feel critical for anyone who is preparing to launch a book? Glenn, you want to start?
Sure. Well, you know, I'm no expert. This is my first book. It hasn't even launched yet. So, but my mom always said to hire the best people you can find and then do what they tell you. And so that's served me well in this endeavor so far. And I learned about endorsements, I guess, really, it was a discussion with my friend, John Mackey, the co-founder of Whole Foods Market. Another book is coming out soon. And so we were on a hike in Europe and he was talking about how he gets requests for endorsements all the time. And he was the one that told me that, at least according to him, the best practice is when you're requesting an endorsement to kind of give people an, like, write something for them so if they like it, they can just say, yeah, use it. But I think endorsements, especially for me, an author, the only area I have a little bit of reputation is in the ultralight backpacking community. And the book is not really about that. And so basically I see endorsements as a way for people kind of briefly browsing. It's like, why should I buy this book? Why should I listen to this guy?
So an endorsement is that blurb that might go on the back cover of the book or under editorial reviews on Amazon where people are giving a reason why others should read the book, basically. Jeevan, do you have anything to add on that in defining what endorsements are or why they feel so important to authors?
Well, there's three things that I think are important. First is always quality over quantity. We've had books, I've seen other books where a person has a whole stack of endorsements. The fact is most readers go and look at a page, which is just all endorsements. And they're like, whatever, let me get to the, you know, it's one of the reasons why we stopped putting endorsements in the interiors of our books. No one read them. They see a stack. They're like, whatever. So I always say, you know, always just focus on 3 to 4 really strong ones, which is the second point. Always go for the A-listers. This is somewhat related to, you know, sometimes I'll get an author who's got like, you know, 12 endorsements from like senior managers. And I'm like, you know, 2 CEOs is better than 12 senior managers. Always that goes. So rank, unfortunately, does play. We all know that frontline workers really do most of the stuff. But the fact is that rank, people look at rank and they're impressed by it. So always go for, you know, the top of the line. And the third thing about the endorsements themselves, short and emphatic is my example I always give authors is your endorsement should be along the lines of, where was this book when I needed it? It could have changed everything. That's it. Most people, you know, sometimes you get endorsements that are even a short paragraph and it's like, no one's going to read that. They're going to look for that one line that nails it and move on. So those are the three things that I think are important with endorsements.
So those are all really helpful and I want to unpack them all a little bit. And let's start with this topic of who to ask. What I'm hearing you say, Jeevan, is you want to go with the A-listers. So Glenn, let's talk for a moment. How did you decide who to ask for your endorsements?
Well, I was looking for, some of them were people in the hiking community, but, you know, not too many, but I wanted at least to have someone well-known in the ultralight hiking community. And so that was easy because I know all these people and it was easy to ask them. But keeping Jeevan's, even though I didn't know his, would have been good advice to know, going for the big names. I guess I was looking for names that everyone would recognize. And so, you know, my friend Dan Buettner, because of the Blue Zones blowing up, is one of those. I mean, I see Blue Zones everywhere. So obviously Dan was like, oh yeah, I'm asking him. Some people I didn't ask, like Nick Kristoff is a friend of mine, you know, New York Times editor. And I don't know, I didn't ask him. I felt that would be, I don't know, just didn't feel right. I mean, he might've done it, might not have done it. And generally though, I tried to ask ones even I didn't want to. And I, Matthew McConaughey, obviously I led with him, a literal A-lister. And Dan Buettner was, he's a friend of Dan Buettner's. And I went back and forth as to, yeah, should I really, is that too, asking too much? Or, and then I finally said, well, you don't know unless you ask. And besides, I did lend Matthew McConaughey all my personal backpacking gear for our trip in Buckskin. So what the heck? And he very graciously gave me an endorsement. And then other names, you know, people that were other authors, I thought that would be helpful. People that had a PhD, you know, doctor in front of their name. Joshua Becker is someone I've corresponded with over the years, you know, very well known in the minimalist community, which is kind of a theme in my book. So it was a kind of a mixture, but I, when in doubt, I asked, except for Nick Kristoff for whatever reason.
Jeevan, you look like you want to say something about that.
I think it's good you didn't ask Nick Kristoff. I think that the one thing I didn't mention is that I think it's good to have A-listers, but there should be A-listers that are in some way connected thematically or directly to your book. Matthew McConaughey is an actor, but he's also, when the moment you mentioned that, I was like, yeah, that's exactly the sort of guy I expect to be out there on a hike. Okay, so he's a good fit. But, you know, I'll give you an example. I had a book recently which was on management, and the author had an endorsement from Serena Williams, which is great because she's Serena Williams, but what does Serena Williams know about management? I mean, I don't think she really, I mean, that's not what she's known for. So I think it's A-listers are always great, but I think there has to be some connectivity. And I don't know Nick Kristoff well enough to know how connected he is into the ultralight community. Is he?
He's a huge backpacker. Yeah, he's hiked the entire Pacific Crest Trail. And yeah, he writes about it. It's not, but you're right. He hasn't won any Nobel Prizes for backpacking. So,
oh no, yeah. I had no idea. But yes, I always think known connections are important. I mean, it's always nice to have something from a known person. But how? I think most people, when they read the endorsement, will say, "Oh, that's cool. What do they know about?" You know, so. That's a personal opinion. I'm sure there's plenty of people far smarter than myself who'd say, oh, hell yeah, get Nick Kristoff on there. So
what do we do? You know, quite often I'll talk to authors who don't have any of these A-list connections. So what advice would either of you have for someone who, you know, is bringing a book to the world, you know, wants to have the A-list or, you know, big name endorsers, but does not have, you know, those personal relationships with, you know, actors or whatever. Jeevan, how do you coach authors if they're not sure who to ask?
I think if they don't personally have the connection, someone they know has the connection, and it's about, and you have to do this delicately, because, you know, you ask somebody who knows somebody else, they may not feel comfortable, but at the same time, you know, they don't want to upset you, so they, you know, but there is There are actually a number of people, like one of our authors, he's one of the top five business academics, top 10 business academics in the world. He never asks for endorsements and he never gives them. Because he's like, I know so many people, quite honestly, I respect them, but a lot of the stuff they say, I don't agree with. And they're going to ask me for an endorsement. I'm going to be put in a very awkward position of saying, yeah, I don't agree with you. So he doesn't even ask, but that's at that level. But someone you know knows somebody that, and that's much better than a cold call. Although cold calls, one of our books, one of our authors said, yeah, I'm going to get a Ford from the Dalai Lama. I'm like, do you know? And she's like, no, but you know, I'm going to go online and you know what? She got a Ford from the Dalai Lama. So
that's amazing. Well, it can't hurt to have the Dalai Lama's name on the front of your book.
Surprisingly, it did not help as much as you'd think. That's the other thing about endorsements. I think they're nice. I have honestly not seen one make or break a book in any way. They're just, it's very nice window dressing.
Well, can we like camp here for a minute, Jeevan? Because I think a lot of authors get very anxious about this. And I have had conversations with authors when they're really spinning about this, worried. And what did you just say? Could you say it again?
I personally, I always have to preface everything personally. I think it's very nice window dressing. I think, yes, it definitely is that initial thing that may capture someone, but does it really make a huge difference? Not necessarily. People don't remember. You know, endorsements are like subtitles. People think of your five favorite books ever. Now, try to recall the subtitle of any one of them. You can't. Nobody remembers the subtitle. They're just there, right there, to explain what the title is about. That's it. The moment you see that, boom, it's forgotten. So it's the initial hook, but it doesn't really... I can see Glenn thinking of subtitles. but I don't think it makes a huge difference. I think if you can get an A-lister to write the foreword, that can make some difference, because the way Amazon and other online entities work is the foreword writer is listed as an author. And so when somebody does a search for that A-lister, your book will also pop up. So it gets attention in that sense.
Yes. And I just want to applaud myself for a minute, because I think I did a good job with a title that people can remember.
Indeed.
Reach. But I could not, and I loved your book and I bought a lot of them and gave them to people, but I could not have come up with the subtitle for sure.
Well, that's good, because it wasn't the subtitle that I wanted anyway. So,
there you go.
Oh, no.
What? We really? We changed the subtitle. The original subtitle for my book was Create Lasting Impact for Your Message, Book, or Cause. And the sales reps at Penguin Random House wanted us to instead focus the subtitle on creating the biggest possible audience. So the subtitle became Create the Biggest Possible Audience for Your Message, Book, or Cause. But it's just window dressing. No one remembers. It's all good.
Just explains what the title is about.
It does. So I had the question here, and I think that we've actually answered it. Does getting a big name endorsement really make a difference? And I'm hearing from you, Jeevan, not really.
My opinion is it gets initial attention. I haven't seen it. Just to give you an example, the book with the foreword by the Dalai Lama didn't meet sales expectations. Now, that's just one isolated example. I think it can make a difference in initial attention grabbing. But you have to keep in mind, you know, 98% of the world is going to see your book the size of a postage stamp on a website. They're not going to be able to read the endorsement. They're not going to look at the back cover, you know. And so I think it has a limited impact. Don't get me wrong. I think it's really nice. And God knows they're used a lot in marketing. All the marketing emails and everything, when they slap that endorsement on the cover, people do notice.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to give an absolute, but I don't want authors to break themselves over an endorsement. Our two biggest selling books, when first released, had almost no endorsements. So
let's see if I can guess those two biggest selling books. Is one of them Eat That Frog?
Yeah.
And it didn't have any endorsements when it was initially released?
First edition, I don't remember what it looked like, but I don't recall it had anything. Or if it did, they were very... And then, of course, Leadership and Self-Deception.
That was the next title that was going to come out of my mouth.
Just two guys working out of a strip mall office in Provo, Utah.
It's a good book, though.
Hey, 6 million copies later, yeah, it's done well.
Amazing. All right, so we talked a little bit. I want to go back to this, Jeevan. You mentioned that you don't necessarily recommend that authors get, you know, page after page after page of endorsements. So is there a right number? I heard the number you said, and Glenn, I want you to weigh in on how many you got. And is there a danger in getting too many?
So we don't do interior endorsements in the book anymore because no one read them. You know, they used to be in the front of the book, and we just realized, you know, people just flip through, yeah, whatever, let me get to the book. Okay. So the priority placement is the back cover. And, you know, you only have enough space for maybe about 3 or 4 endorsements in the back cover. How many do you have?
I have 3.
There you go.
I've got 6.
Show us.
That's quite a number. Okay. All right. Now, the fact is you can get more endorsements, which then can appear on the Amazon page and the like. But again, the warning there, sometimes you go on Amazon pages for certain books and you're just trying to get to what is this book about? But ooh, there's like this roster of endorsement and people are like, yeah, whatever, whatever, you know, and they just skip to what they need to see. So, you know, if like, does it hurt? I don't know if it hurts. I just don't know if it helps.
So, Glenn, how many did you ultimately seek?
I actually seeked and ended up getting 17 endorsements.
Wow.
And actually, they're all in the interior of the book.
Okay.
Which probably no one will read. I don't know, as a first-time author, and then I was trying to, I think we're getting good use out of them, though, because Becky's team is repurposing a lot of those into marketing materials, LinkedIn posts, stuff on Instagram. So, I mean, I think we're getting good use out of them. I probably could have picked the top 3, but then my book is kind of a straddle. My reputation is as a backpacker, but the book is about life lessons. So, you know, yes, I've got backpackers, and then I got some good advice from Becky. Like, hey, you know, all your endorsements you have are from white males like you. If you want someone other than that to buy your book, you might want to consider seeking some other endorsements. And so I did. And so I wanted to include those too. But then, you know, if you try to include a little bit of everything, you get what I got. You know, I got 6 on the back cover and all 17 in the first couple of pages of the book.
I'm curious. What are the demographics of when it comes to ultralight black backpackers? Are they mostly white men, or are they?
Well, the outdoors in general is heavily skewed to white male. Through hikers or long distance hikers probably are a little more, you see more women represented. they tend to fall into kind of two age categories, kind of young, you know, before you start your career, and then kind of older after you're retired or close to retirement, before you get time away for long hikes.
As an author and seasoned book marketing expert, I know the struggles and frustrations that come from launching a book into market. Where do you start? Which channels should you be on? How can you best engage the right audience? How do you stand out among the noise? Fortunately, we've got you covered. To alleviate these stressors, my team at Weaving Influence and I recently launched the Book Marketing Strategy Live course. Through this 6-hour cohort-based small group training, you'll learn the ins and outs of book marketing and gain access to our learning of over a decade of helping authors launch their books into the world. And you'll do this in a supportive community of like-minded authors. Ultimately, you'll discover how to most effectively leverage your time, energy, and money to launch your book into the world with momentum. Plus, with your course purchase, you'll receive a toolkit of resources, including guides, timelines, and templates to ensure you're thoroughly supported as you start the execution phase of your book marketing journey. Are you ready to get started? We offer a new course every 6 to 8 weeks, and you can find upcoming course dates and reserve your seat at weavinginfluence.com. I can't wait to see you at the live course.
Well, so that's an interesting question, Jeevan. Would you say that the endorser should represent the demographics of the people you want to write the book, or is it good for authors to be aware of representing diversity in their endorsements, no matter who their intended audience for the book is?
I don't think diversity hurts. Sometimes you are writing for a particular demographic, and that's who's going to buy the book. Now, does it hurt to have people outside of it? No, I don't think so. But does it necessarily help? I don't know. I don't know enough to judge that. But I do believe that authors should, you know, there's the ripple argument that I make with books. You know, whenever you ask an author, you know, who's the audience for your book? Ultimately, they want to say, well, everybody in some sense. But I always say, look, you know, think of it like a pebble thrown into still water. That first ripple is what determines every ripple afterwards. And that first ripple is that core audience. And then if it has a big enough impact, it automatically goes into other audiences elsewhere. So, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, when Malcolm Gladwell's first book came out, basically knew him from New Yorker. I mean, of course, he wrote in various other, but he had a core following. And now it's business readers who traditionally were never readers of Gladwell. You know, and they're the ones who are, you know, now trumpeting his X thousand hours of expertise, theory, and stuff like that. So, you know, it's always look at the first ripple. I think that's the important focus.
So I tend to have a pretty strong way of coaching authors to have diversity represented in their endorsements. And one of the reasons is because I was working on a book with an author, and we gave away some copies of it and shipped them out. And I had a woman email me, and she was really upset. She said, there's not a single woman endorser of this book. So why should I think that this author has anything at all to say to me? And I have not forgotten that. And so quite often, if I have the opportunity to influence an author, like certainly let's have some gender diversity. Let's have some people of color represented, you know, I would say that, you know, positions the book to be more relatable to anyone who might pick it up.
Fair enough.
All right. So what else should we be talking about endorsements? Earlier in the conversation, Glenn, you mentioned that your friend John Mackey gave you the advice to pre-write the endorsements as you're sending out requests. And I'm curious, Jeevan, what do you think about that approach? What do you think about authors who would, you know, write some sample endorsements, send them out to the potential endorsements, endorsers, excuse me, send it out to potential endorsers, and then, you know, ask them to edit to suit.
I think it's both good and problematic. It's good because, honestly, it's like when somebody asks you to write a recommendation letter. Like, you really don't, like, you don't know. It's a smaller version of the recommendation. You really don't know what to write. And it's always a godsend when somebody says, well, here's a template. And, yeah, send it. I'll just sign it. Here, here you go, you know. So a lot of our authors do that too, where they, you know, we put together, because that also guides, like, yeah, it should be short, it should be emphatic. But of course, authors are self-conscious and they don't want to put their endorsers in this awkward space of, well, do I really have the right to suggest this is an amazing book? It changed my life. That's the endorsement they want to get, but do they have the audacity to suggest that to somebody else? Some authors are nervous about it. So I always tell authors, look, you know, be as forward as you want to be, but make a joke and just say, by the way, if you want to sing my praises further, feel free, you know, or something like that. And, you know, sort of, but yeah, so it's definitely good to give suggestions. This happens with forwards too. You know, write up a forward and send it, and they'll look at it and make small adjustments. But you also, some authors feel nervous about how much they can sing their own praises.
Yeah, that's true. I think as an author, like, my experience would be, I would prefer to have an endorsement that someone wrote spontaneously for me, because it would feel like it was more genuine or authentic. But at the same time, you do want to make it easier for people to say yes and give them some guidance about words that they could use to describe your particular title. So, Glenn, you had 17 endorsements ultimately. Did all of them use the samples that you gave them, or did you have some that were just completely unique to the endorser providing the blurb?
I had a mixture, and I do appreciate Jeevan's comments about, I tend to be high on humility, so it was really hard to, you know, come up with things you want, like, you're kind of deep down not admitting to yourself you want people to say about you in the book. I was lucky in that I'd gone through a short similar round of this when, at the advice of Becky, I put together a website, you know, a year before the book. And so I asked for some friends to say things about me as to why people should sign up for the newsletter and things like that. And so I had some material to work with for some of my contacts. For other ones, like for McConaughey, you know, I tried to research it. I read other things they had written. If they'd written other endorsements, I read those. I listened to his book on a road trip. And I looked for areas where things that were important to him and that he cared about coincided with things that I was talking about in the book. And he actually did make a slight change to what I wrote for him. So at least I know he looked at it, or someone looked at it. And judging from the change, it was him. I had some people write theirs from scratch, which I was always glad for, because a lot of the people I was asking for endorsements are much better writers than I am. So that was good. But I always tried to, if it was someone I knew, I kind of had some idea of their personality and how they would write a little bit, and also just their life work and how it pertained or overlapped with what I was talking about in the book. So all in all, I mean, a surprising number to me just said, yeah, that's good, which I never really know, like, okay, did I do a good job on it, or are they just busier than I thought? Or they don't care that much, or you never know, but I took it.
Well, so we're coming to the end of our conversation, but I want to make sure, is there anything else about the power of endorsements or the value of endorsements that you hoped that we would talk about today, Glenn or Jeevan, that we didn't talk about yet that you'd want to add as we come to a close?
I have two bits of advice for authors in addition to the three things. Pieces of practical advice. One is when you get an endorsement, get permission from the person you're getting an endorsement to edit it. Just say, look, I'd like to have your permission to edit this for length. Substantively, it'll be the same, but it may need to be edited for length, clarity, etc. Is it okay? Otherwise, you get into the cycle of editing, having to send it back to them to get a, you know, it's time consuming. And so get that permission up front, then you're okay. The second thing is get their byline correct. A good byline of an endorser should just have like their rank or their, you know, whatever. And like their one best-selling book. However, sometimes, you know, we get bylines and they're like, you know, listing their last three positions and they want all of their books listed. And it's like, no, just, and by the way, you don't list subtitles in the books that they've written. Like it has to be really concise. And the thing is, that's one of those things where you also want to get clear with the endorser, hey, this is how we're going to credit you, okay? And get that, because otherwise that can be another back and forth, and the endorser wants to add this and that. And sometimes, I'm not joking, we've had endorsements come in where the byline is almost as long as the actual endorsement itself. It just looks clunky. So just those two pieces of advice.
And I'm going to add to that as well. I will generally advise authors when they're going out to ask for the endorsement. And I have never advised on the editing piece. So that's a really good one, Jeevan. So get permission in advance to edit for length and clarity. I always ask for the byline, but I haven't given that caveat before of the byline needs to be succinct. I will often also advise authors to get a headshot in advance, because if you want to use the endorsement on social media and create graphics, you might want permission in advance to include the person's face, if that's going to be a helpful way of, you know, getting attention for the graphic. And then I will also encourage authors to ask in advance for the endorser's address, because quite often authors will want to send a book to say thank you. And if you ask for everything all at once, you can avoid that kind of back and forth of like, oh, can I have your photo? Oh, can I have your byline? Oh, can I have your address? So if you ask for all of it at once, that way you can cut down on that back and forth. So I'm just adding to what you said, but I love the clarity around, you know, getting permission to edit and getting a shorter byline. Glenn, anything else about endorsements that you would want to add to our conversation as we wrap up our time together?
Well, those are great tips. When I wrote kind of draft endorsements, I included the byline of what I thought was short and sweet. And so in some cases, they edited it. And then my editor actually then edited them. But that's a pro tip on getting permission ahead of time to edit, because I know, you know, your team has taken in some formats on a, you know, back of a mini business card or something like that, you need to reduce the length, and it gives you the opportunity to, like Jeevan said, kind of pick out the impact, like the one statement that is really the gold in that entire endorsement. Other than that, I would just say, go for it. If you hesitate, if you wonder if you should or not, I mean, they can only say no. I guess even in the, you know, asking someone creates something, even if they say no, so I guess there is some truth to be said for giving it some careful thought in case you put them in an awkward position. But I don't know. For me, I don't think anyone felt bad that I asked, and everyone said yes. So
that's amazing. Can you two indulge a little story?
Sure.
So as you were saying that, Glenn, I was thinking about when I faced the choice of who to ask to write a foreword for my book. And In the intro to my book, I talk about Brené Brown as being someone who demonstrated the commitments of reach that I talk about in my book. But of course, I don't know Brené Brown. You know, in an ideal world, obviously the bigger name on the front of your book, the better. But I kind of had this wrestling match with myself because the route I had to Brené Brown was Whitney Johnson. And Whitney Johnson is like one of the first clients I ever served. She's a woman I often like quote. I admire her deeply. She's been a mentor, an encourager, a client, whatever. And I came to the conclusion that I would rather ask Whitney as my first choice and know that she could give me a wholehearted yes and know she was my first choice than to go to Whitney and ask Whitney to ask Brené and get a no from Brené or no response from Brené and then come back and say, well, Whitney, would you do it? So I made the decision instead that Whitney was my first choice. And, you know, I'm so glad that I asked her and she wrote a beautiful foreword for my book. But I wonder for those of you who might be considering like that you want the big name, like what if you get the name of the person who matters to you more, who you already know, who may have a slightly less big name? I mean, Whitney has a pretty big name too. If you're listening, Whitney, I love you. All right. Silliness. Okay. Well, at the end of every episode of the Book Marketing Action Podcast, we always want to give authors or aspiring authors some action steps that they can take to grow the reach of their books. So I want to give you two today. The first one is if you're an author who has had your book out for a while, but you haven't recently brought attention to your endorsements, maybe in the next week or two, you want to craft some social media content to highlight those endorsements again, to give your book some credibility and remind people of the value that it can add for them. So existing authors, just take a moment over the next 2 weeks, highlight your endorsements again, if you haven't done so recently. The second action step I want to give you is that on our website, weavinginfluence.com, under resources, we have a free ebook called Making the Ask. And in that free ebook, we outline some practical guidance for helping to get great endorsements for your book. So if you're listening today and you need that guidance as you're getting started, go to weavinginfluence.com and you can download that free ebook and get some additional guidance for seeking endorsements. So before we end the episode, Jeevan, could you let folks know if they'd like to learn more from you, how they can stay connected?
Just email me, jsiva@bkpub.com. I know that's a hard one to spell out. J as in Jack, S as in Sam, I, V as in Victor, A, at bkpub, B as in boy, K as in kettle, P as in Peter, U, B as in boy.com. Drop me an email. I'm happy to answer questions and help in any way I can.
And I'm going to say that you should also look for Jeevan on LinkedIn to follow him. And we'll put the email address and your LinkedIn profile into the show notes.
I'm a big fan of Becky's because, you know, what is that? We worked together, what, 2 decades now? A decade now?
Well, Weaving Influence has been around almost 12 years.
Yeah, so almost a decade and a half. Yeah.
Glenn, where are the best places for people to stay connected to you?
Well, I'm surprised Jeevan hasn't nabbed crankyeditor@gmail.com. That'd be a lot easier. People could spell
it's already
that.
Taken. It's already taken. I tried.
Shoot. Like you said, there's a lot of cranky editors, right?
Right.
People can reach me at my through my website, glennvanpesky.com, or simply glenn@glennvanpesky.com. I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, or X.
Well, in your book, by the time this episode airs, should be available. So you can check out Take Less, Do More on all your favorite online retailers.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. This was fun.
Thank you. It was fun and good to meet you, Glenn.
Likewise.
Thanks for listening to the Book Marketing Action Podcast. If you haven't already, I hope you'll subscribe to our weekly newsletter at weavinginfluence.com for more access to ongoing learning and conversation. If you're new to the show and not sure where to start in exploring our episode archives, see the show notes for a list of my favorite 5 shows as a way to get started. If you need support for your book marketing journey, Weaving Influence is your one-stop shop for digital marketing and PR services. We craft and implement strategies customized to your long-term goals and can support you during every phase of your author journey. Now it's time to take action on what you learned today. Be sure to let us know how you've implemented today's action steps.